Good morning, House Chair, members of the Portfolio Committee, our Deputy Minister, my fellow Minister, members of statutory boards and councils, agricultural sector representatives, senior officials from the department and its entities, ladies and gentlemen, good morning, Mulweni, Khwemora, Sanibonani. It's great to be here today to present my first budget and policy speech to the National Assembly. When I was first announced as the Minister of Agriculture, South Africa reacted in typical fashion. There were memes of me wearing tight-fitting bootable shorts and veldskoene, pictures of me riding tractors and horses, and of course the very teasing renaming of me as John Deere. But there was also an open letter to me that went viral on social media. It was thoughtful and considered and offered me some sound advice and encouragement for the path that lay ahead. In his letter, the author told me that agriculture was not just farming. It was economics, manufacturing, infrastructure, energy, research, science, tourism, water, and many other things. In the first few weeks that I've been getting to grips with the department, I can confirm that my correspondent was absolutely correct. Make no mistake, agriculture is one of those primary industries that play a essential role in the provision of food, the creation of employment, the enhancement of rural economies, and the generation of foreign earnings. The sector contributes an average of 2.8% to the national economy, measured in gross democratic product, and roughly 6% to total employment. However, when food manufacturing is combined, both the agriculture and food sectors contribute up to 7% of the GDP. Between the period 2019 and 2023, the agricultural sector performed relatively well compared to other sectors in the economy. This is despite the challenges that were brought around as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic and the lockdown regulations, the July 2021 unrest, which disrupted food supply chains, and the conflict between Russia and Ukraine, which saw input costs and tariffs and trade flows of commodities like fertilizer, wheat, sunflower, and rice, amongst others, being affected. Despite this, during that period, the agricultural economy increased by more than 25% in value added, creating over 113,000 new jobs and expanding agricultural imports by roughly 47 billion rand. This growth can be attributed to the agility of the farmers and the value chain players and their adaptability to vulnerabilities like COVID-19 and conflict. And I want to turn to the Agricultural and Agro-Processing Master Plan. This was a master plan that was adopted in 2022 and is the framework upon which the agricultural sector is premised. The AAMP adoption process has enjoyed broad sectoral support, and I wish to make it clear to both the industry and to this committee that I have no intention of reinventing the wheel. Instead, the focus will be on rapidly accelerating the objectives of the AAMP and ensuring that my department upholds its commitments contained in the plan. Thank you very much, House Chairperson. The sectoral plan contained in the AAMP is anchored on a commodity value chain approach, and the value chain roundtables and transformation scheme have been established, reporting to the AAMP Oversight Executive Committee that I will chair. The collaborative approach we need involves leveraging the skills, the resources, and the knowledge already available in the private sector, industry, and agribusiness to work hand in hand in a partnership with government. The leadership of my predecessor established very close and mutually beneficial relationships with the industry, and I believe that we are on the right pathway in this regard. I'm a firm believer in the importance of the coexistence of small and large farmers and agribusiness. The AAMP shares these very same principles and will make my job a lot easier to drive. The role of the Department of Agriculture is to provide a national framework to promote sustainable food security and an enabling environment for the agricultural sector to work and grow. This then requires a policy and regulatory environment that is modern, progressive, and in line with international standards. I intend to work very closely with the chairperson and the portfolio committee to drive a legislative agenda through the 7th Parliament that will modernise the agricultural sector. Some of the pieces of legislation governing the sector on the statute books are outdated and are out of step with the needs of the modern agricultural sector. Statutes, for instance, like the Fertilisers, Farm Seeds and Remedies Act 36 was passed in 1947. It's time for us to work together as the Department, Parliament and the agricultural sector to bring the policy and regulatory environment into the modern era in order for us to harness the new technologies, products and practices that are available internationally. This will allow our farmers, small and large, to remain on the cutting edge of agricultural advancements and ensure global competitiveness. Food security is another important focus of our department. Another important focus of the department has to be on biosecurity and phytosanitary interventions. Biosecurity remains a very clear challenge, particularly in the poultry and livestock sector, and remains a top priority for the department. Recent outbreaks of avian flu and foot and mouth disease pose a significant risk not only to our local production, but also to our export potential to other countries. It's an area where greater focus is going to have to be given. In this light, the department will be focusing on a new track and trace system for the movement of animals around the country. This is becoming necessary because international export markets and trade organisations are rapidly moving to systems where trade will only be possible with livestock products if such product can be traced to its origin. We must move swiftly in this regard. I also believe that in addition to assisting with biosecurity, a track and trace system of livestock could assist in the combating of stock theft, as each animal will be uniquely traceable to the original owner and the chain of successive movements of the animal will be recorded. The Department of Agriculture, in collaboration with the Department of Science, Technology, Innovation and private sector partners, will contribute 10 million rand to the National Biosecurity Hub program. This program aims to integrate scientific disciplines to enhance sanitary and phytosanitary capacities, ultimately achieving a comprehensive biosecurity system in agriculture. The greatest asset the department and indeed our country has is the incredible farmers and farm workers of our nation. They are world-class producers and rank amongst the best in the world. They need our thanks, they need our support, and they need us on their side. Whilst assisting large commercial operations to expand and flourish, we must empower new entrant farmers to become self-sustainable and productive as quickly as possible. To support farmers to grow and develop and to contribute to food security, we need to have a fully fledged database of farmers understanding in each instance the type of support they require from the department. Access to finance has also proven to be a significant constraint on the ability of new entrant farmers and small farmers to succeed. This is highlighted starkly by Wandile Sehlobo in his excellent book, A Country of Two Agricultures. The Department of Agriculture developed the blended finance scheme to increase access to affordable finance for black producers in the agriculture and agro-processing sector as part of our commitment to the Agriculture and Agro-Processing Master Plan. Blended finance involves the provision of grants by the state and loans by private financial institutions, including development banks. To date, the department has successfully partnered with the IDC, the Land Bank and ABSA, and is concluding agreements with FNB, Nedbank and CIFA. The Agro Energy Fund is another blended finance instrument developed in partnership with the Land Bank to support all qualifying producers and agro processors, regardless of race, with alternative energy sources. The fund facilitates the purchase of CapEx for farming or agro-processing and focuses on energy-intensive agricultural activities such as irrigation, intensive agricultural production systems and on-farm cold chain-related activities. I encourage farmers to make use of this facility to diversify their energy sources. The department will continue to roll out the farmer support programs such as CASP, amongst others. These producer development support grants are provided to producers who cannot afford loans. They are largely subsistence and smallholder producers on arable agricultural land. The support includes the provision of on and off farm infrastructure, production inputs, mechanisation, training and mentorship, extension support, and ensuring that these smallholder producers receive accreditation and certification to supply safe and high-quality food to the market and the public through tailor-made SA GAP certification program, which has been implemented in the partnership with the Perishable Products Export Control Board. Additionally, $448 million will be made available through the Elima Letsema to support 67,492 vulnerable households with food production, aiming to create 9,461 jobs, and $1.741 billion will be available to support approximately 6,023 smallholder producers across all nine provinces through the provincial departments of agriculture. I've read the Portfolio Committee's legacy reports, which are critical and offer some findings of their oversight visits, including problems they've identified with the PESI program and conditional grants meant for farmers. It is of concern that in some instances money meant for farmers was never received. Extension offices remain an important component of support to farmers, and we will continue to explore ways to increase both the quantity and quality of services and support offered by extension offices. This will include exploring innovations as well as public-private partnerships with industry and sectoral bodies to potentially increase the number of extension offices and the training of them to the render the services our farmers need. We will relook at the process of allocating the grants and ensure that we are getting value for money and that the impact is being felt and measured on the ground. In terms of agricultural exports, these have shown a very strong annual growth rate over the past 5 years, with an increase of 5% in US dollar terms and 12% in rand terms. Robust engagements are currently underway with the European Union, as well as in the WTO, regarding new regulations which negatively impacted citrus exports to the EU market. We need to expand markets to enable profitable farming in South Africa. This year, in 2024, will mark the first season where South Africa will be able to export avocados to three new markets. Last week, the first avocados from South Africa landed in Japan, China, and India. Additionally, new markets have been opened for fresh beef and lamb in Iran and for table grapes and citrus in Vietnam. The maintenance of traditional markets has also contributed to the steady growth of agricultural exports. We must continue to expand these horizons for South African-produced agricultural products by expanding on and leveraging existing agreements like AGOA and our EU trade agreement. But we must also start looking to new markets on the African continent, India, the Middle East, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, and China. Again, access to these markets will only grow if we can ensure proper biosecurity and phytosanitary assurance to them. Disaster management is also an area that doesn't fall under this department, under the Cooperative Governance of Traditional Affairs, and natural disasters have started to have a massive impact on agriculture, including the recent veld fires, floods in the Western Cape, black frost in Limpopo. We need to be better prepared to mitigate such risks and assist farmers in extreme conditions. There are also other departments that fall outside of the Department of Agriculture, but which have a direct impact on agriculture. These include transport that covers the essential road and rail routes that farmers require to get their goods to market, the ports that farmers require to get their goods to international markets, and of course the SAPS, who are an essential partner if we are able to improve rural safety and protect our most important assets, farmers and farm workers, from violent criminals. Water, too, is going to be an essential partner in improving both access to and management of water resources. I intend to knock on all of their doors so that working together in a transversal way, we can really begin to unlock the real potential of the agricultural sector as the engine room of job creation in our economy. I intend to make sure that our farmers, farm workers, and the sector have the loudest voice in the room working their corner. And so I end where I began, with that letter I received from the unknown farmer. Yes, I undertake to use this opportunity as a chance to do something together with all of you including the honourable members of this House and other members of Parliament. And yes, I will be on the sector's side as together we open the gates of opportunity for our farmers, small and large, our sectoral partners and others for us to grow. Let's grow together. Thank you.